So this morning, we're going to get the good news, the morning good news. You know, all over the world, they have the morning news. People sit and they watch the morning news. It's all bad news. Yeah. And then they work all day and they go back and they hear the evening news. More bad news. Yeah. But every morning we get the good news. In Brazil, they have one radio station called the Good News Channel. Just good news, no bad news. But after 6 months, they had to stop it. Ran out of good news, you know. Kali Yuga, you know. It's hard to have steady good news. You know, only in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah. So, text number 17 from the sixth canto, Vritrasura's glorious death. Chapter 12, 17. Prana, glaho, yang, samara, ishvaksho, vahanasana, atra, na, gyayate, musya, jayo, musya, parajaya, pranagloho yam samara, ispaksho vahanasana, atrana gya yate musya, jayo musya parajaya, pranaglaha. Life is the stake. I am this samara battle. Ishu akshaha. The arrows are the dice. Vahana asana. The carriers, such as the horses and elephants, are the game board. Atra, here, in this gambling match. Na, not. Gyayate, is known. Amusha, of that one. Jaya, victory. Amusya, of that one. Parajaya, defeat. Translation. And there's no purport. So we're going to go on to the next verse. And then let's see what happens. Translation. Oh, my enemy, consider this battle a gambling match in which our lives are at the stakes. The arrows are the dice, and the animals acting as carriers are the game board. No one can understand who will be defeated and who will be victorious. It all depends on providence. Text 18. Shisuku vacha indro vritta vacha studva gatalikam apujayat Grihita Vajra Praha Sangs Tam Aha Gata Vishmayaha. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing the straightforward instructions or instructive words of Vritrasura, King Indra praised him and again took the thunderbolt in his hand. Without bewilderment or duplicity, he then smiled and spoke to Vritrasura as follows. So this is a bit of a cliffhanger, so we're going to go to the next verse also. The purport. King Indra, the greatest of the demigods, was astonished to hear the instructions of Vritrasura, who was supposed to be a demon. He was struck with wonder that a demon speaks so intelligently. Then he remembered great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, who had been born in the families of demons. And thus he came to his senses. Even so-called demons sometimes have exalted devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Indra smiled reassuringly at Ritrasura. Indra Uvacha, this is text number 19. Aho Dhanava Siddhosi Yasya Te Matir Idrishi Bhakta Sarvat Manatmanam Surhadam Jagat Ishvaram. Translation, Indra said, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and friend of everyone. Purport, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam lad vacha param labdham manite narikam data yasman stita nadukena guru napi vachayate. Established in Krishna consciousness, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. An unalloyed devotee is never disturbed by any kind of trying circumstance. Indra was surprised to see that Ritrasura, undisturbed, was fixed in devotional service to the Lord. For such a mentality is impossible for a demon. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can become an exalted devotee. Striyo Vaishya Yatasudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. An unalloyed devotee is sure to return home, back to Godhead. Gata Alikam means without duplicity. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he explains the austerities of the mind. And this is one of them. Manaprasadak Somyadvam. Manaprasadak Somyadvam. Maunam Atma Vinigra. Bhava Sangsir Iteta Tapamalasam Uchjate. Sangsir, that's the word in the Bhagavad Gita. And here it says Gata Alikam. You know, Sanskrit is so. You know, they have the same word, but in the Sanskrit it's different. It's completely different. It's amazing. So, Krishna says, Manaprasada, one of the austerities of the mind, is to be satisfied. To be satisfied in serving Krishna. It's not easy, and this is Maya's kingdom. And there's a lot of opportunity for sense gratification. So one has to be very determined and sincere to not be allured, to be distracted by Maya, and to be satisfied in serving Krishna. Yeah. There's another one in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akinchinasya dantasya santasya samachetasya manas akinchinasya dantasya santasya samachetasya maya santusya manasa sarvasukha maya desa. Very nice verse. You know this verse? Yeah? It's a great verse, isn't it? One who is free of material desires, which is another tough one to get free of. See, this is the problem with Indra. And a lot of the demigods are known as Sakama devotees. They're devotees. But they have these desires that they don't want to get rid of. Like Indra is really attached to the heavenly planets. Yeah. He doesn't want to give it up. So much so that he sometimes sees people that are becoming a little too advanced, and he sends things, you know, Mayadevas to allure them, because he's so attached, he doesn't want to give it up. So that's the difference between a Krishna devotee and a Sakama devotee. A Krishna devotee, he wants to be free of material. We want to be free of material desires. And we just want to have that one desire to serve Krishna. Isn't it? This is what we want. We're praying for. Not easy. But this is what we want. Isn't it? So that's the difference. The demigods, they're devotees, but they're attached and they don't want to give up their positions and their material opulence and their sense gratification and all this. So to be free of material desires is very difficult. But possible. This is the power of Krishna consciousness, the holy name of Krishna. Krishna, I mean, this, Maya is very powerful, but Krishna is more powerful than Maya. So if we take shelter of Krishna and pray for his mercy, then we can become free somehow. We have so many wonderful devotees in our society now. They've been practicing now for 50 years. Yeah. And incredible realizations and just going on decade after decade after decade serving Krishna. So it's happening. Yeah. So akinchinasya dantasya. Dantasya means one whose senses are controlled. It's like we chant that in the morning. Sarira vidya jodendya taiga jiva filevisar. That the tongue is the most voracious of all the senses. Very difficult to control the tongue. And the tongue has two functions: to taste, like here you have nice prasadam, yeah. And then to speak. When Raghunath, I heard something about Raghunath Das this morning. What was that? Is there some day about Raghunath Das? I didn't understand the language. Oh, right. Today is the Panihati. Right. So he, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's the one that arranged that. So, you know, he was with Lord Chaitanya, but he was so humble, he would never speak to Lord Chaitanya. He would only relate to him through Swarup Damodar. So humble. So he asked Swarup Damodar to ask him, what is the duty? What is my duty in life? So Lord Chaitanya responded, don't speak like the ordinary people, nor hear what they have to say. In other words, don't watch the news. Yeah. It's all nonsense. Yeah. Don't speak like them. Don't hear what they have to say. Don't dress very opulently. Don't eat very opulent foodstuffs. Eat simply. Of course, he was the personification of that. Yeah. Just eat a little bit of buttermilk. Yeah. That was like, and he lived a long life, right? Like I think up to 90 or something like that. Long life, just ate practically nothing. It's amazing. Offer all respects to others. Don't desire respect for yourself. Always chant the holy name of Krishna, and within your mind, always serve Radha and Krishna in the land of Vrindavan. These were the eight instructions he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. Nice instructions that we could learn from. Yeah. So, mana prasadak, akinchinasya dantasya. So to control the senses, to control the mind. This is an austerity. But we get good result. If we give in to the mind, we give in to the senses, then we become controlled and we suffer so much. But if we can control the mind, control the senses, and fix our mind on Krishna, then we get purified. We get closer and closer and closer to Krishna. So, kichinasya dantasya, who was peaceful. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atta Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Ashanta. The devotees of the Lord, they're very peaceful. Because their desire is just to serve Krishna. But persons who bhukti mukti, they have some material desires, or they want liberation, or just have all kinds of desires, and they can't be peaceful. Yeah. Mystic perfectionist people, they want mystic perfection. They can't be peaceful. Only the devotees are peaceful because they just want to serve Krishna. Therefore, they're shanti. They're shanti, peaceful. Samachetasa. Samachetasa means it has the same meaning. Satisfied in serving Krishna. Just want to serve Krishna. We don't want. Yeah. Like Prabhupada said, devotees were, we live a simple life. You know, we don't have furniture. And we, of course, at least that was when Prabhupada was here. Floor dwellers, we sleep on the floor. I remember when I first joined, my bed was a sheet. That was it. No pillow, just a bed sheet. That was my bed, yeah. So simple, yeah. And we didn't have our own clothes. All the clothes were merged. Everything was merged. You know, you didn't have your own dhoti and kurta, and you know, everything was just merged. And you just, you know, got what you got. You know? It was nice, actually, simple. Probably like that also when you joined, right? Back in the early days, it was like that. We lived very simply. Now devotees join; they got beds, and they got iPhones and computers, and you know, you got everything. You know? If someone had one of these little 8-track tape players. I mean, that was like super duper opulent. I mean, he was like, you know, that was like overboard, you know. But now it's not so much like that. But it was so nice just living that simple life. So kintinasya dantasya santasya samate vamanyas. No, what's that? What's the next line? Akinchinasya dantya santasya samachesasa manasantusya manasaha sarvasukha mayadasa. Such a person, wherever he goes, he only finds happiness. Only finds happiness wherever he goes. Jaya Shri Panchatattva. So, mana prasadak somyatvam, monam is another austerity of the mind, to be grave. To be grave is another austerity of the mind. Just like, you know, this Prabhupada was in India. Uh-oh, we don't have a translator. Who's the translator? Prabhupada was in India, and they were visiting one city. And one devotee found in the newspaper, there's one person there, he's been practicing monam for 25 years. And Prabhupada said, this is very good. Because when they speak all nonsense. So it's very good. And there's one interesting thing, you know, we have this, in India we have this Padyatra. It's been going around since 1986. I think, since the, was it 96 or 86? Anyway, a long time. Either the centennial, 86, since the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So they've been going around ever since. They haven't stopped. So that's 14, that's, what is that, 33 years? 33 years. Still going. So they went to one village. And there was one man that was so impressed with the devotees. And they told them that they go, you know, continuously around India. So he was so impressed with them. He said, I take a vow of silence until you come back. And he was, he got all the books that they had. So he was just reading Prabhupada's books, chanting Hare Krishna, and didn't speak to anyone. I guess it takes about a year, or maybe more, 2 years. 2 or 3 years, something. So he didn't speak that whole period. He was just reading Prabhupada's books. Of course, he had a family, he was working, and chanting Hare Krishna. So then when they finally came back, it was a huge festival, because he was also a respected person in the village. So it was a big festival. They had a stage, and the devotees were doing Harinam and on the stage. And then he came, and he was going to speak. It's a big thing. Everyone in the village gathered to hear him speak. And he just spoke what he had been reading. You know, gave basically Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita class and Chaitanya Charitamrita class all combined for like about 3 hours. And it was just like, everybody was like, wow, it was incredible. So, and then his mother went up to speak. And she was a follower of some Mayavad rascal who claimed to be God. So she spoke, and then he went up, and he just totally smashed her guru. You know, he's just a nonsense, cheating rascal, cheating the people, just going on and on and on. And everybody was just so impressed, and the ones that were most impressed were the devotees. Yeah. He took a vow. He was just reading Prabhupada's books, taking prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna. And they were so impressed with his presentation. So this is... And Prabhupada said, actually, devotees, they also practice monam. Because if you just speak about Krishna, then that's also silence in one sense. You're not speaking prajapa. So that's also monam. So, mana prasarak sonya, monam atma vinigraha. Another austerity of the mind is to control the mind. Very difficult to control the mind. This is the greatest austerity, practically speaking, just to control the mind. Some of you may have heard this before, but it's worth repeating. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he had a very nice... Have you heard this before? Bhakti Tirtha Swami's way of controlling the mind. You heard this before? We have all these japa retreats, and there's so many different ways to try to, you know, focus on it. But I haven't heard anything better than this. What he would do when he would chant, if he found he was inattentive, he would stop, and he would back up one or two beads, and then he would go forward, just to check the mind. Because the mind, you know, it goes one place, then it goes there, and it goes there, it goes all over the place. So I've been doing this for years, and it's so good. Yeah. Just as soon as you find you're off the mantra, you stop, back up a bead, go forward. Give it a try. I mentioned this to one devotee, and he tried it the next day, and he told me that it was the best japa he ever chanted. Because, you know, Krishna says, by constant practice. So this is a way to practice. Yeah. A practical, pragmatic way to practice controlling the mind, fixing it on the mantra. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said the reason it's so hard to control the mind is because the mind is a non-devotee. It doesn't want to hear it. Yeah. It wants to go on Facebook or take some prasadam or talk some prajapa or something. Anything but chanting. Non-devotee. So you kind of got to preach to the mind. I know you don't want to hear the holy name, but listen, we're on a new program now. So if you're not attentive, we're going to chant more. All right. So try it out. It's very good. Because this is the process in this age for attaining our love for Krishna. This is the key to the spiritual world. But unfortunately, this mind is always giving us problems. So we got to beat it. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we had to beat the mind 100 times in the morning with a shoe. 100 times in the evening with a broomstick. Now, that was in India. In the West, we got to beat it all day long. Yeah. That was India, just in the morning and the evening. Yeah. They're a little more cultured than us. We got to beat it all day long. Nonsense, rascal. Hare Krishna. In the early days, devotees took things very literally. So every morning they'd go down to the basement and they'd get somebody else's shoe 100 times. That was part of the morning program. And Prabhupada heard about that and said, no. You beat the mind with the intelligence. So they stopped doing that. But many of them were lamenting because they really liked that part of the morning program. Getting the mercy of the devotees. Yeah. So, by the mercy of Krishna, we can control the mind. So we have to really show Krishna that we want that. So Manapasarak Swami Monam Atma Vinaya Baba Sansidir Ichetad. And he said it goes from the most difficult to the most difficult. Yeah, the most difficult is to have a pure mind. Monam Atma Baba Sansidir Tapo Manasam Uchite. So the most difficult is to have a pure mind. This is the biggest challenge. To have a pure mind. And pure mind means always thinking of Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakto majajimam bhaskara mame vaisi satyam pratijane priyosi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So, now here in this verse, he glorifies Vritrasura as having discrimination. Discrimination means recognition and understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So Vritrasura knew that Indra's being, that he was lamenting and he didn't want to fight, right? He didn't want to fight. So he said, don't be so disturbed, you should be steady. He was, became like his guru, his kshatriya guru. So this was the position of Vritrasura, although he was a demon, apparent demon, and he was a kshatriya, but he wanted to give this understanding to Indra. And then he picked up his thunderbolt again, ready to fight on the instruction of his guru. Yeah. So he gave this word, straightforward or discrimination. And what was the other one? Oh yeah, endurance, steadiness. He could see that he was pure because he had endurance. He was steady. And this is something Christians also looking for. Prabhupada said, we're not interested in having shooting stars. Yeah. But a moon. A moon. Yeah. Steady. Steady light. Steady effulgence. Steady service. This is very pleasing to Krishna. That we're steady in our service. It's like I've seen so many book distributors come and then stop. Yeah. Stop the seva. Of course, not everybody can. Although Prabhupada, he said he wanted everybody to learn the art of book distribution. Not everybody can be full-time. But he did want everybody to learn the art and to do it. When Prabhupada was here, every Saturday, everybody would go on book distribution. Even the pujari. The pujari would do some offering, and then go out and distribute books, come back, cook the rajbhog, offer the rajbhog, go out again, come back. Yeah, that was the mood. Everybody was doing book distribution. I mean, all the services are important, but this is what Prabhupada considered to be the most important. It's nice you're going to have this marathon. So it's very auspicious. So to be steady is very important. And then here, it's mentioned also that Dhritarashtra is fearless. No fear. One time a devotee, or Prabhupada was with some devotees, and there was an interview taking place. And the newspaper interviewer asked Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, I have no fear. No fear. Fearless. And Krishna says, Vita raga baya krodha man maya mama pasita bhavo jnana tapasa putamad bhava magata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and they have thus attained me. So in this verse, Krishna is trying to encourage us. Many, many, many persons in the past have become purified. So we also. But we had to become free of material attachment. Vita, raga, baya. Vita, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, right? So this attachment, or this is again, this is something we have to pray to become free of, and to become attached to Krishna, and to become fearless. Just to give you an example of how. It's happened many, many times in the past. There was one instance of a devotee in Miami. I joined in Miami. Actually, it was a whole family, husband, wife, two sons. And they were a very nice family. They would come and do so much service at the temple. But at one point, the lady, she got cancer. So we all lamented about that. But the devotees, we would drive to their home a few days out of the week and do bhajan, try to encourage her. So we were there one night, and she looked like she was going to leave her body that night. But we couldn't stay. We had seva to do. To take rest early for seva the next day. But that night, maybe a few hours later, her husband is standing next to the bed. And she says to him, do you see him? And her husband says, do I see who? Krishna. He's standing right in front of me. And he's calling me. But you're my husband. I have to ask you, should I go? He said, yeah, go. 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 And she closed her eyes. And shortly after that, she left her body. Went back home. Hari Bo. So it's happening. So many devotees are leaving their body now in Vrindavan. Mayapur. Means you're going home. They're doing seva throughout their life. Decades of seva. And then they leave their body in Vrindavan. Going home. So it's happening. We just have to continue on. Do as much seva as we can. And at the end of our life, we shouldn't think, oh, I could have done so much more. I could have distributed so many more books. I could have done so much. You know, do as much as we can now. So that we don't have to lament like that. Oh, why did I space out? You know, it's like there's one, this reminds me of this. Actually, this thought came because there was one in Germany during the war. There was one Nazi who was he was a pious Nazi. he would buy Jewish people, and he would have them work in his factory. But the idea is he would free them. He would give them freedom. And I forgot his name. Schindler. Schindler's List. Yeah, I don't know how many, like hundreds. Right? And after the war, he was lamenting, I could have saved more. I could have sold my car. I could have sold my ring. I could have gotten more money. I could have bought more. I could have saved more Jews. He was lamenting. I could have saved more Jewish people. So we shouldn't have that mood at the end of our life. You know, oh, I could have distributed more books. Why did I space out? I could have done more seva. I wasted time on Facebook. Ah, shoot, whoa, what a waste. Yeah. Time is so valuable. And we hear this so much. The time is so valuable. Janaka Pandit says, "You, 1 second you cannot buy back with all the wealth in the world." So I decided to look it up. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. 86,400. So we shouldn't waste them. Of course, a lot of those we have to use to refresh the body, got to sleep. But in our waking hours, we should utilize them properly. Always thinking of Krishna, doing seva for Krishna, and not waste a second. Okay, so any question or comment? Yes.
Your nice class, a very nice point. Because I'm researching something about peace. So I would like to ask you, because you mentioned that devotees who serve Krishna has that shanti, has peace. So can you maybe tell something more, a little bit more about what's the differences between devotees, like who is serving Krishna and at the same time developing that shanti, and also between these altruistic organization who are doing different great international projects for peace building. What's the differences in a practical context?
Yeah, there's peace movements trying to promote peace. So real peace is inner peace. If people are peaceful within, they're engaged in the service of Krishna within, then naturally within society people become peaceful. But it's because of lack of inner peace that there's so much war. So peace begins from within, and then it comes without. But peace also is something that, in one sense, is not so important. What is more important is service to Krishna. I'll tell you one nice pastime of Prabhupada. 1976, Prabhupada's health was not good. He was in New York City. And he was making plans to go and preach in Europe and then on to India. So devotees were trying to convince him to go to Gita Nagari. And there he could go and he could write. And he could, his health can get better. So they were trying to convince him right up to the point where he was in the elevator going down to the car to go to the airport. So one devotee said, Prabhupada, please, if you go to Gita Nagari, there you can write and your health will get better. And it's very peaceful, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, in a very grave way, I am not interested in this peace. Kind of said it like a bad word, you know. But I'm interested in fighting like Arjuna on the battlefield for Krishna. So, devotees also fight for Krishna. But, yeah, in general, yeah, we're peace lovers. But the peace begins from within. Yes, Prabhu?
I have a question.
Yeah. Was that okay?
Okay, I just want to ask what the difference is in the goal or which achieves some of these huge international organizations who are doing different, developing different kind of projects for peace building amongst the people, nation.
Oh, so their goal is to have peace around the world, right?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. But our goal is to serve Krishna.
Okay.
But naturally, devotees are peaceful. Calm. Peaceful. Shanti.
Okay.
Naturally. But where it's necessary, you know, violence may be there. Yeah. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is about it. You know, Krishna's trying to convince Arjuna to fight. You know, I want to be peaceful. No, fight. So higher than being peaceful is to be Krishna conscious. That's a side product of being Krishna conscious. One is peaceful, unless that necessity is there to fight, you know, for a righteous cause.
And so, because you mentioned that devotee is peaceful, is shanti because he serves Krishna.
Yeah.
Also, in that regard, maybe we can understand that even its fight is necessary. Then, but devotee is peaceful because with that fight, it will
bring Krishna peace.
Yes, bring peace, yeah. And Krishna will be
exactly
peace.
Because why was he fighting? Because there was a bad leader. Duryodhana was, you know, he was a murderer. He tried to kill the Pandavas. He was a terrible person. So the result of the Battle of Kurukshetra is the Yudhisthira became the king, and things became very shanti. Yeah. He was the leader of the world, and society just went very smoothly, very nicely, very peacefully. You know, so a leader is there in order to keep peace, or to help people be Krishna conscious.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned akinchana in this verse, akinchanasya, and you reminded us of the days of very simple ashram life. I was asked a question by some grihastha wealthy devotees who are very well-to-do, and they certainly do a lot of sponsorship of every possible imaginable kind. So they asked that we condemn sense gratification and we encourage simple life. So what does it mean for them? They take prasad, what should they give up? What does it mean for a very wealthy devotee to live a peaceful life and control the senses? Okay, it's prasadam, it's not, anyway, the prasadam is the same in the temple and in even poor or opulent devotee's house. So what would it manifest like in their life? What is sense gratification for them and what is sense control for them?
Well, there was one disciple, still is a disciple, Ambarish, multimillionaire. So Prabhupada didn't encourage him to just give up his wealth and live a simple life, as a brahmachari. Actually joined as a brahmachari. But Prabhupada, he encouraged him to use your wealth in the service of Krishna. Which is okay. Not utilizing it for sense gratification, but he's using it in the service of Krishna. That's also detachment. But then we have other examples. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, multi-millionaires. They're very wealthy. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was going to inherit, we can't imagine how much he was. Didn't want anything to do with it. So it's an individual thing. They can give it up. Just give all their money to Krishna. You know, just give it all to ISKCON and just live a real simple life. Or they can keep it and gradually give it, you know, different. So it's an individual thing. Yeah.
And what would be sense gratification for them? Because anyway, we have the regulative principles. We have prasadam. So what would be...
Well, prasadam is sense gratification. Prabhupada said the prasadam should be so nice because that's our only sense gratification. That is sense gratification. We've been having our nice cheese, you know. That's all right. So, yeah, prasadam should be very nice. Prabhupada said this is our secret weapon, kitchen religion. So this is nice, you know. And actually speaking about Krishna, this is also sense gratification. Hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. Rupa Goswami got so much pleasure, transcendental sense gratification. He desired to have many millions of ears to hear and millions of tongues to chant. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of his heart, stop the activities of his mind, you experience unlimited happiness. So there's transcendental sense gratification. He's experiencing much more happiness than all these guys out there engaging in their nonsense sense gratification. And actually, this material sense gratification just keeps them more and more bound. But transcendental sense gratification liberates us from material existence.
So the answer would be to have everything connected to Krishna in a balanced way,
yeah,
and just do whatever service is possible and practical.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.